Dear Cheap Astronomy, come on, surely we're going to land on Mars sometime. And of course, this is true. Exactly what will motivate us to go there in the end is still a bit unclear. It may just be the case that we'll go there because it's there, although there'll probably be a bunch of subplots and motives that underlie that. But before then, here's a quick list of all the problems we have to overcome first. 1. You need a truckload of ongoing money over decades to fund the building projects and hire employees and maintain the infrastructure that keeps all that going. So that's one huge commitment to make one small step. 2. Assuming we do get off the ground, you need to keep the astronauts alive and healthy over a 2-year space mission. That's partly about the effects of microgravity and partly about space radiation. Space radiation is partly about the harsh background radiation that's normal outside the Earth's magnetosphere. But there's also the unpredictable risk of a big solar flare aimed your way. And sure, you can add lots of shielding, but that's more mass, so you'll need more fuel, which is also more mass, and so on. 3. It's just plain freaking dangerous. A whole load of stuff could go wrong on a 2-year mission, and although getting to the moon was impressive, it's still in Earth's gravity well. Once you've really left Earth's gravity well, there are no passive trajectories available to get you back home, except for that big long trajectory that goes all the way round the sun. 4. We're not really sure how to land a crewed lander, and we have no idea how to get them off again. Rocket equation math suggests there's no way we can land the people and the life support with enough fuel to take off again. So we might make fuel from Mars resources, but it's vastly more likely we'll need to ship fuel in with robot missions somehow or other. 5. The astronauts aren't the only ones taking a risk. Getting to Mars probably won't win an election, but failure and dead astronauts would probably lose one. When we went to the moon, we mostly flew military test pilots. For them and their families, the risk of death was a career choice. But in the modern era, there are inquests, litigations, class actions, and tabloids. So the general picture is one of huge expense and enormous risk. Some say that what we need is a game-changing technology, like a totally new propulsion system, which would get astronauts to Mars in larger mass spacecraft and in a far shorter time than we can now. But it won't be warp drive, and since the spacecraft will be flying through a vacuum, you'll either have to generate thrust by ejecting propellant or maybe detonate explosive devices, but either way you have to load up lots of mass and then consume it over the course of the journey, remembering that it's a return journey. So in spacecraft design terms, you probably need to think way bigger than we're thinking right now, but don't call it the Titanic. Others say that getting to Mars will be a huge infrastructure project, involving the setting up of deep space stations at strategic points along the way, deep space stations that will have to be crewed and maintained and resupplied and maybe have a quarks bar too. So we won't so much fly to Mars as urban sprawl our way there. This could be where the Artemis program takes us, NASA's current plan to return to the moon in 2024. Which looks a bit optimistic time-wise, but is certainly feasible otherwise. Artemis would include the Lunar Orbital Platform -Gateway, a clunky renaming of what was formerly the Deep Space Gateway, something conceptually repurposed for the Return to the Moon plan, but which was originally a cislunar outpost with Mars missions in mind. The reconceptualized gateway, which looks a bit like the ISS, but in a polar lunar orbit, may play a role in refueling, assembling and storing mission components, astronaut accommodation, And of course, it will be a science laboratory. So it will be almost a deep space station, and if it really happens, it will be one small step.